Now, I want to talk to two people who are sitting here in front of me. That's one good thing to do when they're sitting here in front of me. I see oftentimes a job defines somebody. You know, you would say such and such a person is a plumber, or she's a teacher, or your man there is an electrician. But what happens when you're known for one thing, but you've got an equally important but less well-known job, or thing, if you like, that occupies your life? Well, Carl Dieter is best known as a financial advisor on TV and radio. Cathy Davey, musician, of course. But both of them have another equally consuming passion in their lives. And because your voice is a little bit kind of wrecked from last night, Carl, I'm going to start with you, Cathy. First of all, let's take a look at music, which is the first thing. You have a new album, The Live at Dublin Unitarian Church, and the new single's called Uninsurable, etc. So tell us about the album.
The album was recorded live, as you said. I don't know what to say. It's got some of the older songs, it's got a couple of new ones. It's a way of releasing something beautiful while Dublin Vinyl have just set up, and it was a way of kind of getting involved in a new exciting era of music. Thank God the kids love
and
vinyl.
And in terms
again.
Of who you are, would it be the equivalent of like MTV Unplugged years ago if you were a rock band? It's well, stripped it down to say the least.
I was wearing a cardigan at the time, so it's nice and cozy. I don't know, why not?
Yeah, why not?
What do you want to know?
Well, a series of unfortunate events did plague the recording of the album, didn't it?
Yeah.
What happened exactly?
Oh, well, the most incredible thing, I remember when we were about to go on, it was about 5 minutes before when you sort of get the whitey before you go on and everything's just zeroed in. And I remember Darren going, "My wrist is really sore, Cathy, when I angle it." And I was like, "Okay, so here we go, we're going on now."
And this would be Darren Dempsey on guitar.
Yeah,
right.
Darren on guitar. And then the next day, 5 o'clock in the morning, he had to go to the hospital. It had been broken for the last week and he didn't know. So he played the whole gig with a broken wrist and played it phenomenally. You wouldn't have known.
Hold on a second now. You played the gig with a throat infection, you would think that's just going to ruin the gig. But
yeah.
Actually, did it help in some ways?
I mean, it didn't help.
No, a little bit of kind of warmth from the audience, no?
Yeah. So, yeah, it made it very, very different, all right. So I had, you know, nice mucusy throat and really, really, really painful, and I had to be sucking sweets in between every single song. And I think the empathy in the room definitely played to my benefit, I guess.
Okay, well, now I did say like the both of you are here, so I'll just stay with you just to find out your other, because I mentioned you're, as well as being a musician, you've got other stuff going on that takes up your days, and I presume it takes up your nights as well. Cathy Davey, what's the other stuff?
Animals. We founded my lovely horse rescue about 6 years ago, I guess, or 7 years ago, and so that is my real job. My real non-paying job.
Or like, did you say, "I am going to found an animal rescue thing that's going to be huge"?
Well, I was heavily involved in dog rescue before.
Ah.
And while we were out kind of dealing with dogs, there were usually horses in the same situations. And we couldn't really find, through normal avenues, a way of rescuing them. There was only facilities that would take them in and euthanize them after a few days, like the pound. Like the Irish pound.
Right.
So there are the rescues, but they're all chock-a-block. So a horse came along, there was no one to rescue it, tried with the council, tried with different organisations, and there just wasn't any way of getting this animal out safely and having it survive. So I said, right, I'll adopt it. And then another horse came along and we were like, oh, Jesus, okay, well, we'll find someone for this horse. Found a friend who had a paddock. That was grand. And then another horse came along and we were like, right, we're going to have to start a horse rescue. So we did. And now we rescue sheep and goats and pigs.
Fantastic.
As well.
The way she said the horse came along, then another horse came along.
Yeah.
Sounds like a movie. Okay, now, Carl Dieter, you are from Los Angeles, California, but you've been here since around the age of 11 or thereabouts. Now, you co-founded Irish Mortgage Brokers, and you're also on these, like, you're in the newspapers and stuff, and you appear regularly in the media talking about financial stuff and all the rest of it, etc. But you're also a what, musician?
Yeah, music. I was a musician before I was ever kind of the more serious side of me that people mostly would see. When I started off after I left college, I was training dogs and working in bars. I wasn't doing anything of any great note. And then in my late 20s, I said, right, you're going to have to kind of cop on and start getting it together. You can't just be playing gigs and living hand to mouth. So I started to utilize some of my education, founded a company. My timing was absolutely perfect, if by perfect timing you wanted to land right in the eye of a storm, because we started off just as the last leg of the Celtic Tiger was really going wild. So within sort of 18 months of getting started, we just faced into this huge crash. And that's been a big learning experience. And music, to be honest with you, helps you deal with so many things. I often say it's far cheaper than going to a therapist. And it's a way to always have this kind of internal refuge that you can go to no matter what's happening in life. So I'm very fortunate to have a musical side.
So what does that mean? Like, is it 5 days a week and then gigging at the weekend?
Well, 5 days a week, definitely, and then some evenings as well. And then I would play a couple gigs a week. So I normally play Thursday night gigs. We have a residency out in Knocklyon. I'd play most weekends. I'd have a show or two as well. So it's just something that keeps you kind of active in life and keeps your chops under your fingers, because you have to keep playing. Music isn't like riding a bike where you can just go away and then come back and be as good as you were. You actually will kind of deteriorate in terms of your skill if you don't practice.
But who's we? I mean, you have an album, Black Sheep. That's the name of the album. It's available on Spotify and iTunes. Who's we?
There's normally me. There's bass.
Hold on a second. Is this the Carl Dieter band?
A lot of it is, because you see, I wouldn't be high enough off the pecking order to get session musicians. So quite often, because I play different instruments, I will play different instruments on my album too. So in that song, for instance, Black Sheep, I'm the backing vocals, the main vocals, the lead guitar, the rhythm guitar, the bass. But I do, I record in a place called Sonic, and the engineer I work with there, Al Cowan, he was a drummer in a punk band called Paranoid Visions years ago, and so he would do the drumming. So I can't drum, and because of that, Al steps in there. But when we need to do something live, then I just get the people that I know. I say, guys, listen, I really need a favour, and off we go.
All right, okay. Now, back to you, Cathy, with all this. Let's get back to the animals here. First of all, where are you based? I mean, where is the animal rescue place?
We're Kildare and Meath. We have two farms. Well, we have three. We've opened up in Cork as well, another faction down there. But yeah, we have a big farm where there's lots of volunteers welcome to come and help and get in touch too if you have any skills in anything.
Is this a labour of love that's turned into a business?
No, it's not a business. You can't make money from animal rescue, no matter what people think or say. I mean, you can take a mare in who's really, really poorly and she's in foal, and it'll take you years and years and years before either of those animals are retrained and ready to be, you know, rehomed. Yeah. Nobody wants an untrained horse that they don't know the history of. So we have to look after these animals until they're... I mean, there's horses on where I live who we've had in our care for 5 years. And that's vets every year, and teeth and farriers and, you know, everything. So so no, it's not a business. It is not a business. Maybe we can help it become a business.
Right, indeed.
Today, right here.
Yeah, right here, right now. Are you always looking for, like, do you have a team of animal lovers helping and doing the gig that needs to be done? Yeah,
there's a team, and everyone has different skills. There definitely needs to be people who can think of fundraising ideas and run with it themselves. There's a core team who are kind of having to be multi-talented, and there's a fear of burnout with that small group of people, myself included, sometimes go barmy. But yeah, it's a growing number of volunteers, and it is a community-based thing, which is the only way you can do it. If you're not making money, it has to be community-based.
It's called My Lovely Horse Rescue Charity, obviously a nod to your partner Neil Hannan's father Ted Song. Does Neil help out? Does he muck out?
He's not an outdoor gentleman, but
that's a lovely way of saying no.
But he is supportive, which is the main thing when you're obsessed with something. You have to have a supportive partner.
How many animals would you have at the moment?
There's about 45 where we live, and then there's probably over 100 on the main farm, and then we have an awful lot of animals in foster. So foster isn't where the people own the animals, they're just looking after them for as long as they can. Maybe it'll be a summer or a winter. Probably about 40 out in foster, and then we oversee the care of horses remotely if you can't take them in. So a lot. How much does that add up to?
I was never really good at maths. I mean, like, just how many animals do you think that you've rescued so far in the time you've been around at My Lovely Horse?
I couldn't give you a number that's on a database that I really don't, I shouldn't ever go near. But hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
What are we talking about here? Animals that have been abandoned, animals that have been abused, and what are the most common?
The most common is, well, you were talking about the Celtic Tiger. So we started out in that year of crisis when there was the fodder crisis, and it was really, really horrific weather, and it just went on and on and on. So a lot of horses had been bought by people who could no longer afford them, were maybe looking to have them breed. Maybe they weren't huge horse knowledgeable farmers or whatever would have them. They'd have land, they'd throw them out. And then the fodder crisis came and the bad, bad winter and the big frost and all of this stuff. So these animals were left. They went through a normal winter. They lost all their weight. Spring was supposed to come. They had grass didn't grow, and there were just loads and loads of horses starving. And it was too big a number for, say, the councils or the Department of Agriculture to be able to know how to deal with. There was just such a huge number. So that's the main thing that started it. But nearly that mentality has continued, where horses maybe aren't owned by people who know enough about them to keep them healthy for an extended period, because they live for 30 years, so it might be fun for a summer, but then the novelty wears out and the expense happens, and there's still a thing of leaving animals out for, say, the pound to come,
like,
and
pets,
get rid
not
of.
Just for Christmas, etc.
It's okay. That classic
Yeah, exactly. Now, by the way, Cathy Davies, who we're talking to, and Carl Dieter as well. Now, Carl, I mentioned Irish mortgage brokers. You have founded that. You write for all these newspapers as well, but you've been songwriting for an awful long time, right? When did you first get into it, by the way, songwriting?
Well, I started off, I used to like writing poetry. I think a lot of people get into songwriting by initially having some love of writing, because I took up music after that. The school I was in when I was in fourth year, they ran out of room for me in fifth year, is what they told me. So I had to change schools. And I ended up in a boarding school, and there was a Franciscan priest named Father Aylby who kind of saw me writing these poems, and he said, you know, you've got something there, you should really work on that. He was a good English teacher. So I started to do that. Then I took up the guitar. And then it was just a natural thing to start to, you know, try and put words to music. And from there, I began. That's about, geez, over 20
years ago. And are there many other musicians around at the moment whose job, or at least they've come from a financial kind of business background?
A huge number. Like, have you ever heard of Alan Greenspan?
Yeah, he's the guy who was in charge of all the money in America.
Yeah, well, he was a pretty decent clarinet player. He used to, I think he played with, I went to school anyway with Stan Getz, used to jam with him, so he would have been a real heavy musician in his time. Lots of people in finance. John Lowe, who's known as the Money Doctor, also excellent musician, very good guitarist. So I think there's a lot of music that is actually rooted in mathematics and in kind of patterns and
so
things like that.
So do you approach the writing of this in a kind of an algorithm-y, mathematically kind of way?
No, you see, the thing
is... feel it?
I always think that people, they don't understand... Well, I don't want to make it seem that people don't understand. Sorry, I'll word that better. People don't realize that business and music and creativity in general, they're all very much one, it's part of the same pie. If you have to create a business, be it a mortgage brokerage or animal rescue, out of nothing, it takes a huge amount of creative endeavor to try and find the ways to make that fit. For me, the two things, they're very much the same. I don't see it as a case that if you're going to be an artist, you have to be in complete disarray and your life falling apart. I don't think that is a healthy
way to... I'm laughing because I had to send Sinead a text this morning saying, I don't have my wallet, I've lost it, and I don't have any money. Is someone coming with me so I can get a lift home? So my life is in disarray, but...
But the funny thing is, at the same time, you know, you've just said you've rescued hundreds of animals, and that is not the action of someone who can't hold themselves together. So again, like I said, I just see it as the creative process. It pulls at people in different ways.
Okay, well, like, well, you did move to Chicago, like at some stage, and you were near Buddy Guy's place, one of that blues.
Yeah.
Did you get in there and play, and did you learn enough of those people?
Well, I used to go for my cigarette breaks in Buddy Guy's bar, and Buddy Guy would quite often be there. And there was a host of amazing characters there. I remember going in one night, and a guy named Dave Honeyboy Edwards was playing. And Dave Honeyboy Edwards was there the night that Robert Johnson, the famous Delta Blues player, he was there the night that he died.
Really?
And he was in his late 80s playing a gig there. And I was just blown away. Chicago is one of the best cities in the world for music. Even in the Robert Johnson song, Sweet Home Chicago, he says, take me to that land of California, sweet home Chicago. That's the original lyric, because Chicago for Southern blacks was actually the land of California, the land of milk and honey, where they could leave the destroyed South up into a place that was industrial. And that melt of all these different nationalities and types of people and skills brought out hundreds of great musicians, amazing guitarists, Magic Sam, Buddy Guy, you name it, everyone at some stage crossed through Chicago. Amazing city.
Okay, just play a little bit of your stuff, Carl. Carl Dieter, this is a bit of Black Sheep. Okay, what are you doing on that there, Carl? Like, I mean, like, you're playing every instrument?
Pretty much everything.
Really?
Except drummer, yeah.
All right, okay. You say you have a residency on Thursday nights, don't you say?
I'll be playing Knock Lion, and I'm going to be playing the solo act will be in the Salty Dog stage in the Electric Picnic this year as well, I'm told. So
all right.
That should be a bit of fun, but...
way out in the woods, and the stage is a boat turned upside down.
What more could you ask for? It's about as surreal as it gets.
It's the loveliest stage there.
It's beautiful,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than the ranch, actually, because I have actually gone. Kathy has a whole section down Electric Picnic, and I call it one of the secret areas of the whole place, because the drinks are good, strong, very inexpensive. The people are lovely. So also, my lovely horse ranch is definitely worth checking out.
Well, then hold on a second, Kathy. If you're down at Electric Picnic, who's looking after the animals?
Well, I'm actually, I probably won't be there so much this year. It's grown so much, and the volunteers just have run with it. It's grown into something far beyond me, so it's not my baby anymore. So I'm just looking after my other furry babies.
When do you get time to play and record the music?
Well, you know, it changes. Like, if you're malleable and accept that you can't do the same things anymore, that's grand. Like, the song, like you were saying, you play your own stuff. I've always recorded pretty much on my own, except for the end of the album where other people will maybe come in and replace the stuff that was rubbish. But so for the newer stuff, I definitely am doing on my own. And that's really easy. Like, I have a little studio in one of the rooms, have a drum kit set up, and record when I'm very angry or annoyed or upset, which is... like loads of the time, because I'm mental, so it's fine, works really well.
I have to ask, I'll ask you both this one. In fact, I think I'll play a bit of Kathy's music, but just before I do, if you had to give up one, which one would you give up? Look at him, like, he's not sure how to answer that.
Jeez, that's real, like, that's a Sophie's choice for me, you know.
Is it? That
yeah,
bad, yeah.
Like, do you give up your son or your daughter? I have to say, I think if I had to give up one, I'd just give up both. My life isn't dichotomous like that. It's too much, two halves of my heart. I can't divide them. So, yeah, I think I'd just be as happy to clock out of this life and go on to whatever's next if I had to give up all those things.
Wow, that's a pretty dramatic answer.
That's
a good answer.
That's a great answer, yeah.
So here, I'll give you a little bit of Kathy stuff at the moment, which is uninsurable. At the Unitarian Church, which is out at the moment, uninsurable is what it's called. Now, Kathy, sorry, I've been asked to ask you, but I got this right. Is it Mr. or Mrs. Wobbles? And
Mrs.
if so,
Mrs.
Mrs. Wobbles. Who would Mrs. Wobbles,
Mrs. Wobbles
be?
Mrs. Wobbles is a Zen master.
I thought it was the name of one of the horses.
No, she's a pig.
Sorry, a pig. We should have known.
I said Zen master, yeah.
Yeah, she's... I think everyone, especially these days, needs to find... their centre. Mrs. Wobbles was a rescue pig who came in with a broken leg and all sorts, and I spent a long time bringing her back to health, but she's just a bit magic, and she lives with us, and she's incredible. You have to come meet her. That's
I have
the only
to
way.
Mrs.
She's like Yoda.
Do you know, like Yoda. I did mention to Carl there, like, which is a stupid one, I suppose, really, and he just said, look, neither, or at least I'll end life.
I was hoping you weren't going to ask, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, if you had to give up one, would you...
No, I'm not going to give you any answer.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's a good answer, actually. And yours, by the way, do you look upon it as a, you know, I don't know what to... like a private hobby, your thing?
Yeah, music isn't so much a private hobby because I'm constantly doing that in public. So, like, you can't stay too private. It's like, you know, being a private flasher who's in the park every week. You can't. That's actually a bad analogy. Scratch that.
That's good.
Excuse me. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, you can't. You can't be like, oh, this is private, but showing it to everyone. Yeah.
Right,
so,
okay.
No, it's very much it's a passion that I have kept through another journey, which overtook. in terms of its requirements on my time. So it's like I said, it's very much just a whole part of my life.
Can I pull back a bit, because people don't necessarily know, like, we're talking here about the guy who's co-founded Irish Mortgage Brokers and writes for several national newspapers about, you know, stuff about the thing. So I might as well ask you about it right now and get some free advice. Tell me about the boom or the bust or whatever. Are we entering another boom? And if so, is the bust going to be far behind?
Well, I actually, I went and did a lot of research on this. I looked through the Registry of Deeds, looking at housing deeds going back to the year 1708. Me and a group of friends and researchers, we looked through 20,000 deeds, found all sorts of amazing things, you know. To cut a long story short, we looked at the booms and busts through the Irish property market, and we have had them, and it does look like there is a cycle. Some of them last very long. We had a 100-year bust from 1800 to 1900. That was due to having a famine and millions of people die. That will keep house prices down. But after that, we have had these cycles, and I believe we're entering into the latter half of another boom cycle, and booms naturally end in a bust. And you can look at that as a very kind of...
We're already into the latter half of it.
Yeah, I think around 2023 to 2026 is when it'll turn and we'll get that
crash.
Well,
then I have to ask advice to people looking to buy their first home. You know, should they hold off or should they go for it?
It's really hard to... It's a hard answer to give, and I'll tell you why, because you've got to live between now and whenever that day is.
Yeah.
And that's the difficulty, is you have to do the best that you can at the moment with the tools that you have. I think that people just have to make choices about being as financially prudent as they can here and now, and realizing that if you overextend yourself now, that if anything changes, a small overextension turns into something completely unworkable.
Yeah. Just one last one I want to ask you, Cathy, just about you know, the making of the music and all the rest of that. You'll always continue to make music is the point, right?
Oh yeah.
By the way, if there's any billionaires listening right now, can they get in touch with My Lovely Horse Rescue Charity?
I have a great business opportunity for them if they're listening.
Really?
Give us money and then we repay you with Mrs. Wobble's Zen.
Rashers?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
That
really puts my flasher comment in perspective.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad. Thank you for saving me, because I no longer have the accolade of making the worst comment of the day.
Okay, sorry. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
No, I was being sarcastic about the business opportunity, but... Yeah, I still make music. Yeah, I have to, because I don't know.
What else is there? Like,
that's the last line. What else is there? Music. What else is there? Listen, Cathy and Carl, thank you very much indeed for dropping in this morning on the programme.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Dave Fanning on 2FM.